Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
We all need reminders. It's easy to forget where we've come from and how God's grace has shaped our lives. Today, Paul urges Titus to remind the believers that their identity is in Christ.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
And now, here is part one of Cheryl's message titled, Vive la Diferencia.
Okay, true confessions. What do you call it besides true confessions? Oh, guilty pleasures. My favorite guilty pleasure is Fixer Upper, Hometown, and Fixer to Fabulous. And if you know this, then we have guilty pleasures together. Now, I don't like every program on HGTV, but these are my favorites. I'm sorry, I love Ben and Aaron. We're on a first name basis, me and them on the television. I love seeing the difference in those houses in where they live. Where is it that they live? Yeah, I just wanted to see if someone else watched it. I knew that. Yes, thank you, Allison Friend. But I just love the way they prize the old features in the house. Like Aaron will be like, Ben, look at this doorknob. I think I can fix this. Or look at this transom. And, you know, we're going to fix this. I think there's glass under there. Or the way they get excited over an old bathtub. I mean, I have never seen such joy. Doors. And they don't just discard them. They don't throw them out. You know, Ben takes it back to his shop. I'm going to surprise Aaron. And he strips it and he cleans it and then he polishes it or he repaints it. And they bring such beauty to these old houses that were once ugly, infested with vermin, so bad sometimes that Aaron won't even go inside. They're derelict. They're neglected, they're ready to be trashed. But then Aaron gets a vision for it, and she paints it out, and she shows the potential buyer, this is what it could be. And they go, maybe, but we still don't know. They have a choice. But I love how they show you all the work that is done, all the processes, you know, all the tearing out and the tearing down and all that they have to take away and all the people that are involved in it. You know, this is our tiler. This is our floor guy. There's no one better at doing floors than you know, Mike. And I know all the names. But it's just so interesting, and it's just so amazing to watch how intensive their work is. I mean, that's a lot of work. Then there is the reveal day. Oh, now this is my favorite day. And they show you the new kitchen. And it's usually got an island, right? The new kitchen. But you know what they do? They flash back to the old kitchen. You know how they eat? This is the new kitchen. But in case you forgot, there's the old kitchen. You're like, Oh. You know, they don't do it enough or long enough, but you're like, I would have forgotten. I mean, looking at it new, you forgot that it looked so bad. And you need that comparison. You need to see it because already we're so taken up with the new. I mean, I'm even imagining myself cooking in that kitchen. And that's the part when the person who gets the house goes, I can't believe I get, you know, they're crying. I can't believe I get to live here. This is really mine. And maybe Dave and Jenny Mars, Arkansas, say, yes, this is yours. It's really yours. I can't believe it. I get to live here. Or maybe Ben and Aaron say, it's really yours, y'all. You live here. And there's a point in those shows when they'll usually bring an old object and say, do you remember that? And they look like this. Is that my old hutch? Yes. Is that the wardrobe my daddy gave me? Yes. Is that the window? Yes. Is that the old door? No. Yes. Do you recognize these doorknobs? No. They're the originals. What? I mean, it's just so fun, so amazing. And then Ben will say, well, you know, we just washed it and stripped it, put it through the refinisher. Then we refinished it and painted it and whatever else was necessary, like it was no big deal. And like he enjoyed the whole process. But there is something that we're all drawn into in that transformation. There is just, no wonder it's such a popular program, right? Because we're all drawn in to see the transformation, to see how something so derelict, so ugly, so ready to be thrown out could become something so beautiful, so amazing, so profitable, so worthwhile, that it could become a home, a beautiful home. But again, all through the reveal day, they have to flash you back to the old bedroom, the way the house used to look, the way the bathroom was. And they need to do that so that the audience can really, really appreciate all of Ben and Aaron or Dave and Jenny or Joanna and Chip. So we can appreciate all that they've done. Reminders are so good, and we all need reminders because we're prone to forget. And at my age, I need more reminders than ever, except for this is my problem. I've done all these reminders on my phone, so it goes off, and I can't remember why it's going off. I have to look and go, oh, this is a reminder to pray for the Ukraine. Oh, this is a reminder. I'm supposed to take Barnabas to the vet. This is a reminder. But we lose sight without reminders of all that has been done for us. I have this feature on my phone, I think you do too, where all of a sudden a picture will pop up. You know, one of the things you go is like, wow, I was so young. And that was only a year ago. But you'll see the pictures of places you've been and things you've done, and your grandkids are little. And we need those because we forget that we've even been any place but our kitchen or our own home. You're like, wait, I have traveled. Or, you know, I do have friends. You know, I know people in other places. We lose appreciation for what we have if we're not reminded. Before ending his letter to Titus with an explanation of his personal plans, Paul told Titus he'd be wintering in Nicopolis, which was 200 miles north of Athens, just in case you were curious and wanted to vacation there, that he wanted Titus to visit, that he was going to send someone, either Artemis or Tychicus, to Crete so Titus could come to him, and that he wanted Titus to send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos, the great theologian, on their way from Crete to get out into the mission field again, that they were needed elsewhere. And Titus was to haste them on with their journey. But before these last remarks, Paul had one more thing to Titus, and he told Titus to remind the people, to remind the people twice. In chapter 3, he tells Titus to remind the people. And he wants Titus to remind the people of who they are and who they were. and the process of what changed them. What took place? The demolition, the extraordinary stripping and cleansing, all that took place to make them who they are now. And on that basis of that transformation, the people were to be inspired to good works. Because when you know who you are, and when you know what you were, and the work that went into making it so, your whole lifestyle changes. Your whole vocabulary changes. You know, I loved marrying Brian Broderson, just in case you didn't know I did. But one of the things that was amazing is he has a testimony. I have a pseudo testimony. I've always loved Jesus. I've been afraid to live without Jesus. That was my whole life, fear. Like, I don't, are you still there? Sorry, I did that. You know, I need you, Jesus. But it didn't give me, because I grew up with it, it didn't give me the astounding ability just to know that everybody needs Jesus. But I married Brian Broderson. He came from darkness, and his whole family and their whole lives were on this trajectory towards destruction and sorrow. His mother has been through more tragedy than any woman I know. I mean, it's just crazy. And they were on this trajectory until Carol, Brian's mom, got saved, and everything began to change. And she said to Brian, Brian, you need to be born again. And he's like, no, Mom, the Catholic Church lets me take communion. You needed to be born again. And she was pressing him, you need to be born again. And from the moment Brian was born again, his whole life upended and changed. The whole trajectory of his life changed. I remember him telling me that he felt like such a loser, that he would never make anything out of his life. And when he gave his life to the Lord, everything changed. I mean, like everything, like the job, the circumstances where he was living, everything upended. He said before that, he went through a year of trying to be good. And as soon as he got good enough, he was going to give his life to the Lord, but he could never get good enough to give his life to the Lord. And finally, in despair, he's like, you just got to take me how I am. Boom. Transformation. So by the time I met Brian, he witnessed to everybody, still does. He just, you know, he'd start saying, do you know, 2 years ago, what I was like and what the Lord has done, like everybody. His one sister, she wouldn't even call us or talk to Brian because she knew he was just going to talk about what the Lord did for him. His other two sisters who were more compliant capitulated and gave their lives to the Lord. They knew there's no other hope. We just got to agree with Brian. We still have the holdout. You can pray for her. But the transformation, he knew, and he had hope for everyone. He still does. He sees every sinner as potential. Oh, he's ready to draw that watercolor of what they could be once God starts his work in them. So Paul began with who they are. We need reminders of who we are. Recently, I was at a retreat in England, and Margaret and I were praying for anyone who would come forward to who wanted prayer. They made an appointment. There were a lot of us. It wasn't like, you can get an appointment with Cheryl and Margaret. No, it was like, you can get an appointment for prayer, and they got Cheryl and Margaret. And we were praying for this one girl, and I said, you know, Lord, I just pray that she will be everything that she's meant to be, that she'll be the true person of who she is. And I'm thinking, what am I praying? I don't know. But I just kept praying. And she wrote me a letter, and she said, you know, I didn't know who the true person was. I didn't know who I was. And I began to ask the Lord, who am I? Because I am who you say I am. And she said she felt the Spirit of God say, what do you like to do? And she says, well, I like to write letters. then write letters because that's who you are. She's like, oh, I'm a letter writer. She got so excited. Lord, what? And she said, the Lord kept saying to her, what do you like to do? What do you like to do? Well, I like to, you know, call my friends. That's part of who you are. You see, we sometimes think that those deep desires, that can't be the Lord. You know, no, that's the Lord. I love to experiment in my kitchen with food. I don't call myself a chef. I call myself a scientist in the kitchen. I just love, you know, Amelia Bedelia. I like to throw things together. I use recipes only when I have to. But I just love that. I told you this story before, but I remember sitting on the deck of this house watching these pelicans. And the Lord spoke to me and said, those pelicans bless me and please me. And I said, why, Lord? How, Lord? And he said, because they are doing exactly what they were created to do. They are being pelicans. Ever since then, I love pelicans. I think I might, you know, like if you could choose a bird. I mean, you definitely wouldn't choose a duck because everyone would think you were quacking up. Or you wouldn't choose like, you know, you would choose like a robin or a sparrow or, you know. And I feel like my bird is the pelican. Because it can look so awkward at times. And that's how I feel, kind of awkward when I'm on land. You know, but put me in the sky. Put me in my element and I'll soar. And my wings are a little too big for my body. You know that? But when I'm in my place, I can soar. You know, God, we are who we are in Jesus. And we need to be reminded because the world is always pushing us, yelling at us, and trying to identify us and re-identify us. You know, the world tries to categorize people and leave them in a box and tie the bow on it and say, you're not allowed to change. You're not allowed to change. That's why you're not allowed, if a person or a student feels like they have homosexual urges, you are not allowed to tell them that they might not be a homosexual. No, they're in that box. They've labeled themselves, tie it up. It's done. That's what the world does. It labels people and says, you cannot change. You need to stay here in your place. But God says, undo that bow. Open that box and let my child go free. And I'll tell you who you are. You are my child. You are mine. God changes it. But you know, when you're out in the environment, atmosphere, culture, you'll say, someone will say, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're judgmental, or you're this, you're that. You're like, I'm a loving, caring, gracious woman of Jesus Christ. You know, I told you I was on this plane, and this guy says to me, I said, you know, don't worry, you're safe. I've been inoculated, vaccinated. He goes, you know, why are so many evangelical Christians against vaccinations? I said, I don't know, because I happen to be an evangelical Christian. And I was, because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And he's like, and I said, and I did it because I love people and I don't want to stop being around people. I did it because my God loves people so much. It was a personal decision that I prayed over. And this is why I did it, because God so loved the world that and I just shared the gospel with him like crazy. But, you know, he was ready to put me in that box, like the unvaccinated, legalistic, mean-spirited, hateful, because that's what the media wants to say we are. But that's not who we are. We are lovers. Because we are so loved. We are the beloved. We are the beloved because he loves us so much. Or maybe they'll say, I remember I had this cousin and she said, when were you born? And I was like, April. She's like, oh, then you're an Aries. And I was like, oh. I didn't want to tell her my birthday because I knew she was into the signs of the zodiac. And she starts going on about what I am. You know, I know two other people who were born on my birthday, and the three of us couldn't be more opposite. Or you hear, oh, you're from Orange County. You're one of those Orange County housewives. I said, obviously you haven't seen my house or my neighborhood. You know, we were driving down Placentia the other day, and Kristen says, you know, they really need to film Real Housewives of Orange County right here on Placentia. Not only that, but when we hang out in this culture, it's like the frog in the kettle. We begin to take on their mannerisms and their way of doing things without even realizing it until we're reminded of who we are. I had a friend who was Irish, and every time I would talk to her on the phone, I would get a lilt in my voice. Well, it does sound pretty good. Maybe we should. You know, I don't know what accent that was. It wasn't Irish. But just so you wouldn't try it, I mixed it up. But I would start talking with a lilt in my voice, and my kids would like, Mom, you're doing it again. I'd be like, would you mind being quiet? I'm trying to hear on the phone. And I would just start talking like that. And it was like when I hung around her, I don't know what. I wasn't putting it on. I wasn't trying. But it would just start. I never picked up an English accent the whole time I was in England. But she would call me, and I'd start with this lilt. And I was totally unaware of it until my kids brought it out. I've known quite a few people who moved from California to the South, to Tennessee, or to Texas. And the next thing you know, what are they all saying? Y'all, y'all, y'all. I also have to say, I love women's retreats or get-togethers, just even this women's Bible study, talking in groups. You know why? Because you find out we're normal. You know, when you hang around men, they're like, why are you afraid? That's so weird. That's so weird. Oh, what are you doing? That's so weird. You know what? We're not weird. We're women. And then you hang out with other women. They're like, oh, I did this. You're like, you do that? So is that a woman thing? And they're like, is it? I don't know why I do it. Let's ask some other women. And we find out we all do it. You know, like some of you are weird, but the most of us don't like snakes. You know, we find out that this is kind of common. And we're like, oh, I'm normal. I'm normal. You know, like, who likes HGTV? That's Brian, you know? Who cares what they do with their kitchen? I'm like, can't believe we're married. One time we're at the Smithsonian Museum, and we're with our two kids. We're looking through everything at the museum. And we get out of the museum. My favorite part of the museum, well, anyway, Brian goes, I can't believe that people care about what the first lady wore to the inaugural, you know, ball, or what her china was. I was like, that was my favorite part. I was totally bored with the guns and swords that were used in the different wars. He's like, that was my favorite part. I'm like, I know. You and I, we're different. And you know, you hang around with women, we're like, let's go see the inaugural ball gowns and the china. I love that part. Let me see their teapot. I could care less about the gun they used or what their saber looked like. Look. But, you know, you hang out with women, you're like, okay, this is my breed. This is what we do. This is what we like. And so Paul wanted them to be reminded because the ungodly culture in Crete was so strong, so prevalent, so pushy. Perhaps you even remember it was full of lying, beastly behavior, self-indulgence, and laziness. And those are easy to fall into. And the believers in Crete needed to be reminded of who they were in Jesus. Verse 1, they were law-abiding, not rebels. They were those who were ready for every good work. Verse 7, they were the heirs and are the heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And verse 15, they were in the faith. They were in the faith club.
We all need reminders because we're prone to forget who we are and what God has done in our lives. Paul tells Titus to remind the believers in Crete of their past, their transformation, and the grace that changed them. When we remember where we came from, we're inspired to live differently, marked by love, hope, and purpose. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at God's work of grace in our lives as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the Epistle to Titus with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.